Jahre. Du kamst vom Wurmer herauf. Du sagtest, ich solle mit dir gehen. Du kämest für alles auf. Ich fragte nach deiner Stellung. Du sagtest, so wahr ich hier stehe. Du hättest zu tun mit der Eisenbahn und nicht zu tun mit der See. Du sagtest viel, Johnny, kein Wort war wahr, Johnny. Du hast mich betrogen, Johnny, zur ersten Stunde. Ich hasse dich so, Johnny.
Bon Radio. The year is 1958. The time, 7 p.m. The place, a backwater cantina named the Jinsi Pran in Tulungagung, a small burg 120 rutted road miles south of Surabaya in Indonesia. Two men and one woman are seated at a booth in the corner of the room. They are dressed in traditional ethnic garb, shimmering green one-piece suits of Lexan with red neckerchiefs of monofilament. Their shoes are inflatable and squeak when they tap their feet on the floor, which they do with vexing regularity. The men are clean-shaven. The woman sports a pallage on her cheek, a sign of nobility. She is also the only one wearing a name tag. It reads Namcha Peak. I would like to report that they were engaged in a heated game of Whiskers Six-Straw, since that oddly chimerical game of chance seems to form a recurrent theme in these sesquintros, but they were not. Instead, the two men, who obviously regarded the woman with veneration, were scooping up glutinous pellets from a narrow trough on the table in front of them and popping them into her mouth. The woman didn't swallow, but rather hawked the morsels into a spittoon at the other end of the room. If her manner seemed a trifle vulgar, it was nonetheless unerringly accurate.
Hawked or hocked?
She was selling them, too.
Selling them, okay, just checking.
When the spittoon was filled to the brim, that is spittoon, not spittoon.
I understood that part.
Was filled to the brim, the barkeep strode over from his electric tap and bent over to retrieve the dampened goods, presumably to use at the sedentary Doris ritual later that evening. The aroma wafting from the spittoon momentarily dazzled him, and he staggered into the bar post, knocking off his Klingel hat and revealing a fresh thatch of tundra on his pate. The significance of this discovery was not lost on the two men as they quietly clamored for a thirst quencher. The barkeep, Klingel hat firmly reattached, sidled up to the booth.
"Your gentleman's pleasure?"
he queried with an undercurrent of unease in his voice. The woman, her mouth still agape, ventriloquized,
"Your name, barkeep?"
At first startled, the Klingel-hatted subservient quickly recovered. "I am called Johnny, son of Uksor Bilantium of Yogyakarta, a village due west of here, noted for its grain auctions, Mayan temples, and pleasant Mediterranean climate. The population fluctuates wildly, depending on the number of people abducted by aliens at any given time." My mother freed herself from gravitational limitations on one such extraterrestrial holiday. Since then, she tours and frequently performs with the Blue Angels of America. The barkeep lapsed into silence. One of the men at last spoke.
I'll have a pint of Bamelsporn, then, my good man. The woman nodded, launching one final pellet spittoonward. Make that two, three, then. The barkeep bowed and edged away. The woman leaned toward the two men, who quickly followed suit, Lexon notwithstanding, and they loudly bonked heads. The resonant sound boomed through the cantina, causing sympathetic vibrations in the bamboo chandelier. The barkeep, Bamelsporn in hand, turned around suddenly and collided with an official from the experimental House on a Stilt project. Their heads, too, bonked. Again, the chandelier jingled in response. Other patrons, their cognition perhaps a bit clouded by excessive amounts of Bamelsporn of their own, began to engage in head-bonking of their own. This activity continued into the wee hours of the Indonesian night, interrupted only by pauses for Excedrin. And thus did a small but representative fraction of Indonesian villagers celebrate their country's 11th year of independence for Le Flambeau Orange,
Le Flambeau Orange
from the Romulans. Those very bonking sounds, by the way, may be heard in cascadingly rhythmic pandemonium in the closing minutes of last Tuesday's Circular Screaming soundtrack, now available on Malted Media cassettes and DAS. And here to tell you more about Malted Media's selection of wheres and why-evers is the spokesman for Calvos and Damien's new music bazaar, himself, Calvos the Shopkeeper.
Calvos the Shopworn.
Yes.
Much more like it, the Shopworn. It was circularly screaming last week. That was quite nice. I enjoyed that enormously.
This week. It's still this week.
Is it? Saturday goes, I thought Saturday goes with the next week. Isn't that how the week
it
goes?
Should.
Saturday,
it
Sunday,
may as well
Monday,
now.
Tuesday, Friday.
Yes, obviously it was maybe last month even.
It could.
Why is that picture of John Travolta on the wall over there?
No, that's Elvis Presley.
Of course.
Didn't you recognize him?
I do now.
So it's the Calvos and Damien New Music Bazaar. It's one of those unusual days.
How so?
Because it's
because
August.
Because we don't have a guest. No one is calling.
We have a guest today. We have Kaya Sarriaho today.
Oh, her. Oh, yes. She does clarify. Or she does constitute a guest.
She can constipate a guest? What?
Yes.
Clarify. What have you in your hand?
It is the Indonesians were a great team of individuals for borrowing from other cultures. And I have documented proof from a recording in 1985, if you want to pick up the fellow tone.
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead.
Long about the mid-1970s, a group of a cappella London musicians, which you are hearing underneath me, besides Dagmar Krause singing Suryabe Johnny, a group called Furious Pig a cappella-ized a number of pieces on one LP, and we found that a recording of Balinese chants to a classic drama mirrors their music quite substantially. So I've been led to the conclusion that obviously the Indonesians heard this LP and
yes,
adopted the musical practices. Can you bring up the LP, or the, or is it gone? Oh, it's gone now. So just rewind.
Well, you know, we have somebody who wants to come on the air to the Calvos and Damien Bazaar. That's what's happening right now.
How's that possible?
I don't know, but he's just telling me how to do it.
All right.
I think I've got everything ready. Now, I'm turning. One more. What's that?
Well, we can't turn down the music. That's our theme. I guess we do.
Oh, okay. Well, that's there. So we're all set. Then shall we turn this 8 up? Are you on the air? I don't either. I'll put them on.
He's very
subtle. Let me turn this on, and no, I don't hear anything. No.
This does not constitute dead air because
okay,
we are frantically
so
trying to fill the air.
We have never put anyone on the air before on the Calvos and Damien show, so So
why don't you plug the telephone output into the receiving?
I have phone C down on three places, on 3, 8, and odd, on odd, and I have number 3 and 8.
Here we are.
Wait.
And so we are. I'll just turn. I believe you are. I think you're finally on the air.
No, just we're on the telephone.
Yes, but our microphones are now too loud, so we'll just turn that down. Okay, good. Well, welcome to the Carlos. You are our first on-air caller in 65 shows. No, I'm not kidding. Would I kid? We never kid on this show.
It's not coming through.
Well, you're in my, certainly in my earphone. Yes.
But not these.
But not those?
No.
No, he's got to be on. Let me hear you again. We're using both mics. Both mics are in audition. That's correct. That's correct. And that wooden box on my left is pushed down to on air, line one. The switch always to the right is now pushed down.
There. There you are. Oh, this is my...
Am I on the air now?
You are on the air now.
But we aren't.
We are.
We are?
There we are.
And I think we're all on.
Okay, we're all on. Well, welcome to the show. This is an absolute treat to have a real caller. Who are you, by the way? Who am I?
You don't have to answer that.
No, that's an interrogation.
Okay, if you're part of the witness protection program, you need not answer.
This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
The reason I'm on here is to tell you about the Dawnland Center presenting a summer sobriety powwow.
Which part of that should we be interested in?
The celebration of clean and sober living, which is going on Route 2 in East Montpelier.
And this is relationship to this and unusual new music is what?
I'm sorry?
The relationship of this event to unusual new music
is what? I
don't
know if it has any relation to unusual new music, but it might have a relationship to some unusual very old music.
Oh, well, we don't do old music on this show. This is a new music show. We don't like old music. Here, this is what we like.
That
wouldn't make me feel better at all. You said, oh, that word old is almost not in our vocabulary. As a matter of fact, my skin is crawling before my very eyes.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, it's...
As long as it doesn't crawl up over you.
It's starting to do that, as a matter of fact. I'm having such a terrible time with it right now. You're the idea of old music is blinding me. It's blinding me. So talk to me about new music. Don't tell me about a sober powwow because we want to be drunk with the sound of new music.
Okay, listen to this.
Yes, tell me.
The proceeds benefit the Dawnland Center.
And they do?
An intertribal native program.
That's good.
Dedicated to education, community healing, and honoring those who walk the good red road way of life.
Oh, wait a minute. This sounds a bit Machiavellian to me.
This sounds Reagan-esque.
You mean it's a reggae fest?
Yes, far from
how do you make that thing go on? Or it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes, certainly. I can make this go on. I just press the play button. There. And then I turn this one to A, and I turn it up. And it's supposed to be playing.
There will be... Are you listening?
I am.
There will be dancing, singing, and drumming. And the performers will be Good Thunder, Four Wind Singers, Moose Spirit, Drum, Abenaki, Dancer, Storytelling, Song, Native American Veterans.
This word traditional keeps coming up. This word, this old idea keeps coming up.
But it's traditional Native American.
And why should that make a difference to me?
Apparently it doesn't.
None whatsoever. You are definitely talking to the wrong guys.
They just left about 15 minutes ago. And then the heavy metal crew will be in at 4:30, and they too will probably have a great interest in this paranormal experience.
Yeah, paramilitary experience. It sounds like a paramilitary sobriety fest to me.
Is it part of the Vermont militia?
No. I didn't know. I don't know what this is.
Now, there we go.
Oh, it's Native.
Uh-huh. And, okay. I must be misunderstanding.
This is what I've been saying all along.
Yes.
But as soon as I see something like sobriety, you go into spasm.
No, it's just that the idea of old and the idea of sobriety and the idea of all of those things, old really makes me sort of self-conscious.
Well,
do you know where Parker Field is?
I don't think it exists. I think it was torn down about a week ago room for a condominium.
That's right, and they dug underneath and pulled it all down. Yes, it's sunk down significantly lower than
Hugo.
No, we don't have Hugos on the show.
Yeah, Victor Hugo's old, too.
That's right. He is.
If one travels.
One travels. Time travels is about what you're going to tell us about now. I know this. I can feel it coming.
Are you in the same time-space relationship as we are?
I doubt it.
I'm sure that's true. Please, one more, quickly tell us one more about the...
It must be free, and there must be lots of food available for everyone. It's just handed out as people drive by.
Sure,
okay, one more time for our listeners, and then we'll go back from the old to the new.
Join us on the air. You too can be treated
equally well.
New music. That was not Furious Pig, that was player piano music by the notorious Carlos Castaneda. Conlon Nancarrow.
Conlon Nancarrow. Yeah, oh, wait.
There they are again.
That goes away. And before that, Ketchak music recorded in Bali by your buddy Camille.
Well, sort of.
Sort of. Anyway, that was, and along with that, before that, Furious Pig with I Don't Like Your Face, similar to That ketchup music.
Catgut ketchup music. And before that, Surabaya Yanni.
Johnny, yes, Yanni by
Kurt Guy.
Yeah, Kurt Weill and sung by Dagmar Krauss.
Oh, yes, yeah. Our fave, my fave anyway.
Yeah, so, boy, that's a... We had a phone call in between there by somebody who was obviously calling the wrong radio show. Thanks, Steve.
I trust part of the message got on the air.
I have not a clue. Well, we are now officially discombobulated.
Goat dances. Wasn't that goat dancing in East Montpelier this afternoon?
Goat dancing, yes. Goat dancing with free Parker rolls.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Parker House rules. That's what it was.
Now, we have a theme today, do we not, or do we not?
We actually have somewhat of a theme. It was going to be a more contiguous theme, but I have thoroughly and completely managed to forget every piece of recording I wanted except the interview. We do have an interview today.
Are you planning to play Finland?
That was another one I left behind.
Oh, well.
Yes. We have an interview with Finnish composer Kaija Saariaho today. Part one of that. Because her pieces are very long, and she preferred that we play them in their entirety. So the interview.
But what she doesn't know,
yes.
After all, Finland is miles away from here, mercatorly speaking. Now just let it run.
Yes, mercatorly speaking. Yes, please continue. And you think we should play someone else's music?
Yeah, I think some more.
Something
of
that like Horacio Radulescu or something. That would be a good replacement for Kaija Saariaho. It's
yes.
A similar number of syllables.
And so syllables is what we are about frequently on this program.
Right. Oh, I'm taking a deep breath because that was very difficult.
You ready to plug something else in now?
Yes, I would like some more music. Will you choose some more music and I'll go over our paperwork here. Kaija Saariaho, today's interview. Next week, Anita Beckman will be joining us live on the air. I'm not sure if she's playing or just bringing recordings, but she will be here. She's from Burlington. And if you liked our aromatherapist a couple of weeks ago, you'll love Anita Beckman. She'll be here with us next week. We'll do our best to be as accommodating as we were to our caller, Steve, just a few minutes ago. Don't forget, our website is just burgeoning. We have many, many more visitors. We've gone over the 12,000 mark in the past 9 months. Eight months. And you can look up Calvos, K-A-L-V-O-S, with your web crawler, web searcher, Alta Vista, or any of the other things, and you'll find us. And lots of good stuff. Photos, if you like photos, you'll find photos there. There's also a little video of us here at the station.
Yes, nothing like a little animation to perk up that crawling device on
yes,
your screen.
Yes, perking up the crawling device and slowing down those downloads.
Right.
And what have you got there? You have something that's already running.
It is.
Shall I turn it up a little bit?
May as well. I don't know it.
Oh, this is John Cage. This is In a Landscape. It's a very lovely piece. After all this high pace, I think we should take the next 9 minutes to listen to John Cage's In a Landscape from 1948. Do you agree?
No, but I don't have any pull here at this station anyway, so just play it.
You chose it!
Oh, that must mean we can play it.
John Cage. Thank you.
relaxed now.
Are you relaxed now? Is that better? Music by John Cage in a landscape. And for those of you who thought John Cage only made music with microphones and people scraping carrots.
Well, I do hear the carrot scraping analogy in this music, however.
What would that be? The fact that he's using a single carrot to play the notes with the pedal held down?
I thought the... As I recall a picture of the piano on the album cover, the mechanism was entirely vegetable in construction.
Oh, that's right.
The pedals were carrots, the strings were...
The hammers were broccoli heads?
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's quite an extraordinary performance, and it was consumed by a team of vegans afterward.
True enough. This is Stephen Drury playing that vegan piano in a CD called In a Landscape, which also includes Cage's music for Marcel Duchamp, Souvenir of Valentino's, and a beautiful thing, a suite for toy piano from 1948. These are all pieces from the 40s by Cage before he was working heavily in the more abstract sonic realm.
I had a pretty good performance of the suite for toy piano back in collegiate days. I bought a very fine toy piano on which to play it.
Whatever happened to that?
It was stepped on.
It happens with toy pianos. Anyway, we have just been presented. We just talked to you about checking out our website, and unfortunately, we have an announcement to make about that, which we'll make on this... There you are, little John Cage. And this message says, Goddard College's email and Netscape system was struck by lightning during last night's storm. Information services staff are trying to address the problem as quickly as possible, but it may be several days before services are restored. So, bad news. If you're trying to send email this way or you're trying to get onto our beautiful Calvos and Damien site, you won't be able to read our playlist. So if you want to know what we're going to play today, call us at 454-7762 and we'll lie to you.
Or you could just go to Montpelier, ask Steve at the Parker Roll facility. I think he has all that information, too.
True enough. Well, shall we let Mr. Cage play out, and then we'll begin our interview with Kaija Saariaho, Finnish composer living in Paris.
Finished? She's not done, I don't
think.
She's
not done, Jamal. She's still rare.
Ah.
So is her music. Cage will play us out. WGDR, Plainfield.
Bonjour, bon radio. It is.
It is.
It is.
Nous sommes Calvos and Damien on the road in Paris. No, we're out of the German region now.
Sur la boulevard, sur la boulevard musique. No?
We are near, let's just stick to English for a while. I think I wore mine out with the telephone operator trying to get information. That was the hard part. We are here in the flat of Kaija Saariaho. Will you say your name so we get it right? We have been probably saying it wrong the whole time on the show.
Kaija Saariaho.
Saariaho, we did get it right. Okay. And we are in her flat. It's a beautiful place. And
it goes vertically.
And we're going to listen to some of her music today, and we're going to talk about it, and... I think this is going to be one of the most unusual and interesting musical experiences we'll have yet had on the show. We have already played some of Kaija's music. It is very dense in most places. I think her harp piece was probably the only harp piece I've ever heard that I enjoyed.
Kind of compliment.
I do not like harp music, and I was enchanted by it. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us first about music in Finland, because we find that the institute there, the conservatory, and a lot of the people are very interested in helping and encouraging Finnish composers. Why is that?
During the past 20 years, something has happened in Finland. It must be partly a coincidence, but which started by producing great singers, then some great instrumentalists, big conductors, and interesting composers. And I think that the cultural administration, which some time back ago was not so interested in supporting all this, have understood again that for a small country like Finland, it's very good thing for its reputation maybe, and that's why maybe past 20, 15 years they really try to help cultural arts to be exported, and of course they can do it since it's a small country and the number of all the artists and musicians is anyway quite limited.
We found also that on the internet, the Finnish Academy has probably the most complete site for contemporary music in the world.
Right, yeah. They are very active, that's mm-hmm. true.
So then, what brought you to Paris?
Well, I traveled first to Germany, to Freiburg, to complete my composition studies. And from Germany I started to make trips to Paris to meet some friends and hear some concerts. And I learned about IRCAM and the possibilities to study there and learn about the possibilities to use computers in music. Meanwhile, I had started to work a little bit in studios, and I applied to a course. Also, I was German, didn't quite the small Freiburg was not really what I expected when I came from isolated Finland to Europe. So I felt that I wanted to hear more concerts, see more things going on, and so little by little I moved to Paris. I was accepted to this course, and that's how I started to work with computers, which was a revelation for me. So I'm on that way still. That was year 82.
If I can generalize, this is not very accurate, but let me generalize a little bit. There are schools of acoustic writing, and there are schools of electronic writing. Your music does not seem to live inside either school. It is very unusual and very different from most of what I've heard. How have you arrived? And let's select a piece to play first, and maybe you can use that as an example of how you arrived at the styles that you use.
We select the piece here. I think that my ensemble piece, Lichtbogen, could be a good example of this. This is a piece I wrote in 86. It's ensemble piece, but the instruments are amplified, and also some of the harmonic ideas for the piece derive from the analysis I've made with computers, but based on some instrumental sounds. I think that the reason that I never felt any necessity to belong to any kind of school is that I had many problems in the beginning of my career, but I think they were rather technical problems than the problems of vision. I think that from quite early stage already, when I understood that I must be a composer, I knew how I wanted my music to be. So I didn't need to reflect really myself in the mirror of other musics. Rather, I needed to find the knowledge to realize what I was dreaming of.
When did you know that you needed to be a composer? This is a sort of a line or an area that we've been asked about often. Mm. How does one know?
It was very painful painful way for me, because I started to play instruments very early, but my family is not a musical family, and I started to compose when I started to play piano. I started with violin when I was 6, and then I started to play piano, I think I was 8 years old, and I started composing. But my family is no music family, and my mother really didn't understand why I didn't rehearse the pieces that I was supposed to rehearse, but I was messing around with the piano. And so I was not really... So I stopped it. My career as a performer also, very soon I understood that that's not something that gives me really pleasure to, I cannot do it as well as I want to. And when I was about 13-14, I understood that I must not be very gifted, because I'm so old already, and I didn't do all the stuff that Mozart did. And this was big frustration for me, and I decided that the world doesn't need any kind of mediocre music and musicians, that there are plenty. And I turned my eyes to visual arts. I had always been painting and drawing and so on. And when I finished the school, I went to art school. I continued to play instruments and make music, but I somehow closed that door of myself. And then after 1 year in art school, I had a growing really anxiety in myself, saying that my life is wasted. It's wasted. I can do nothing else. I felt that every second I'm not trying to go towards music, and my music is wasted second. And so I forced myself start to study composition. Mm-hmm. And after, when I had made this decision, then again, well, it didn't matter anymore then. But so it was, and only very recently I understood that my son, who is 6 now, who plays piano and with whom I rehearse every day, of course he's advancing wonderfully. And then it just came to my mind that myself, I started to play this violin at 6, and nobody even showed me how to tune the instrument. So how could I possibly could have been become a big violin virtuoso? Mm-hmm. So I was overly overly critical towards myself, I think.
Mm-hmm. But how did you end up writing, how did you end up not writing, say, television music? Do you understand what I'm asking? That there's a direction one might go from a family which is not necessarily musical, which might be toward a popular form. What turned you in the direction of this highly imaginative and original approach?
Because I imagined the music.
You
I
did.
Always imagined the music.
Early in
always,
your mind.
Always. When I was a child, I remember one time when I tried to compose, and I remember I was trying to write down music which was yellow and nervous. I imagined always the music. So that was then when I decided that, okay, maybe it's worth anyway doing it, and anyway, at some point it was my only choice then. So that was never my problem, what kind of music I would write.
Mm-hmm.
It was my music.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. It was expecting to be written down.
Yes.
So in a way, the aesthetic choices I never really did. I see composition as something really, for me, very nearly like a religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is only one music I can write. I don't need to choose between post-surrealism and minimalism, because they are just labels, they are just...
Yes.
I have nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn back to the piece we were just going to listen
right.
to. Give us the name of that again.
Yes, Lichtbogen.
Lichtbogen. A little bit more description, a sentence or two, and then we'll listen to it.
So Lichtbogen is a chamber ensemble piece. And before that piece, I had written, I had worked quite a lot with computers, analyzing sounds, and realized also few works only for tape media.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very big pleasure for me to come back to instrumental writing. But coming from studio, having all the new knowledge I had about the sound, how it's living in space and how it's moving in time, I realized that I'm thinking about the instruments in different manner. And working in studio and learning about sound as a physical phenomenon had brought new things to my notation, because I had started to imagine my music differently. I imagined very clearly the different kind of vibratos or the lack of vibratos, and also concerning the strings, very exactly the place of the bow on a string. And all this is notated quite exactly in the score, and it gives to this music its special quality, I think.
Let's listen to it.
Okay.
Once again, the title is
Lichtbogen.
Lichtbogen by Kaija Saariaho. That was Lichtbogen by Kaija Saariaho. We're going to hear a number of pieces of yours. Next, a piece with string quartet.
Yes, Nymphaea.
You said it has some of the same thinking, some of the same techniques as Lichtbogen.
Yes, Nymphaea is first of my works, which would be is really for this kind of traditional ensemble like string quartet, which has very loaded and important history. And the reason that I dared to step into this kind of category was my interest to strings and my idea that I would really here concentrate only on string writing and continue the things that I had started in Lichtbogen. So
well, let me ask you about notation, because you just said in the previous piece that your notation is very detailed. How do performers react to your notation? Are they comfortable with it? Do they have to learn a whole new set of ideas simply to interpret what you write on the page?
This depends completely on performers. Mm-hmm. It's of course there are performers who played now really a lot my music over the years, and they are completely comfortable with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course there are performers who have great difficulty. I wrote recently a violin concerto for Gidon Kremer,
mm-hmm.
and Gidon, who is a perfectionist, and this being one reason, and the other reason being that he himself, for example, speaking about the position in the bow on a string, he himself is doing this kind of variation.
Mm-hmm.
More or less intuitively, when he's playing, he's changing a lot the color of a sound when he's playing. So in the beginning, I think it must have been really uncomfortable for him that this aspect of a music that he had normally he's used to add himself was notated there already.
So you overrode his performer's intuition. And because he's such a very good performer of contemporary music, it must have been difficult. Did you have a long interchange with him about this?
Well, he had not really. We talked about it a lot, but on the other hand, he's someone who respects completely the composer and the score if he chooses to play it. But I mean, he was working enormously, and there I didn't feel so comfortable that I was asking myself, is it really necessary that I had added this layer to my music? On the other hand, that was how I imagined.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yes.
So let's turn back to the string quartet and let's listen to it. This is Nymphaea by Kaija Saariaho. That was Non Faire by Kaya Sarriaho. And now we're going to turn to one of our favorites on the show, one we've played twice already. That's Du Cristal. This is an extraordinarily dense piece, and for me, the one that best makes me want to ask you about your music. This is the piece that said, you need to find out how she works through a piece. Can you reveal how you composed the Kristall?
I spent more than 1 year to write this piece, so. But there is something very general I can say the way I write my music. It's the first thing in is normally always that I imagine it more or less, or I have certain kind of image, sound image of the music, which then has some atmospheres on some instrumental details, and I try to put all this down. And the next thing is that I construct a plan, a formal plan for the piece, thinking about the tensions and which musical elements I use to create these tensions. And when I have some idea of the totality, I start creating musical material. And in case of the Kristall, the most important thing was the harmonic structures, which are sometimes very complex. But on the other hand, I needed to have very audible things. For me, music is audible, even if it needs to be complex sometimes to bring audible things that we imagine. I think working with music, it must be really audible, but it must not be something which is wonderful to read on a score, but it must be heard. So when working with the harmony, I wanted to find a kind of basic chord which would be a guideline for listener, where we start the music, where we come back, a kind of far away way to use ideas of tonal structures. So this work with the harmony then took months, and then I normally start writing the piece and write it once all over the whole piece except for the end, and then start to write it again. This is how I made with the Kristall. With a big piece like that, I really need to get into the musical material, mm-hmm. somehow to memorize it. Only that recently I tend not to do it anymore. I don't know why. I hope it's not for any bad reason. it means that I don't anymore write all my music twice. Mm-hmm. But this was what I did with the Kristall. And this piece was written in United States. Mm-hmm. In San Diego. I stayed there for 1 year. And it was kind of strange experience because I was in this sunny California, and I lived most of the time in a place called Pacific Beach, and I saw from my window the surfers and all these people, and I was not sure that my music really belonged there.
There's a couple of questions that brings up. One is that in your brochure, you are very harsh in your rejection of traditional shapes and melodies and harmonies. You call them obsolete. Why do you feel that way?
Absolute in which context? In the context of us repeating things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the time that we are living right now, it's unbelievable time. I think that look all what is happening around us, the Of course, there is all the thing about the natural catastrophes and all these all the big problems in this world that we all are conscious of. This we cannot avoid. It's unfortunately. But then, when we think about the cultural world, there is also this enormous pollution and this idea of money, power, and meaning of measuring everything in money and measuring your value and value of your music in terms of money and how many people listened to it, how many people bought your CDs and all this. I think it's horrible. And how can anybody stay creative in this kind of environment? And what are the things that young composers today, for example, ask themselves? I really would like to know, and I'm sure that the answers can be somehow sometimes horrible, because I'm sure that they need to ask in this world where they are living, they are asking themselves, will this sell? All these kind of questions which really should not be, it really should not be our problem if we want to create personal music. And that's why I all kind of postmodern attitudes, taking historical elements and gluing them as if by us being the ones who glue it would make them contemporary. This I find most hateful.
Let's listen to Du Cristal, and then we'll come back and have some more conversation about such things as surviving as an artist and audiences. By Kaya Sarajevo, Du Cristal. On WGDR, Plainfield. Du Cristal by Kaya Sarriaho. We'll continue our interview with Kaya Sarriaho and more of this very intense music in 2 weeks. Next week will be Anita Beckman.
Unless it isn't.
Unless Anita has forgotten or just like dissed us.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Say, was that taken from West Side Story? I thought I heard some themes in that tune. I started humming.
Oh, you started humming.
I did.
I thought that was the equipment.
Ah. It was my equipment humming.
Your equipment humming.
Just time for a quick...
a quick quiz.
Quiz.
We have 10 minutes left, and in this 10 minutes, we're going to do a mix of 7 pieces of music by 7 different composers. Hidden in the list of 7 composers is a solution to the theme for this week's show.
Indonesia? I-N-D-O-N?
Oh, it's hidden in the clue. There. And I have to give this list because we're going to mix them one after another. So here are the composers. The first composer is Elena Fursova, and we'll listen to her piece Night for Soprano and Saxophone Quartet. We'll follow that by a piece by Charles Ives, Scherzo Holding Your Own from a long time ago, from 80 years ago. And then following that, Conlon Nancarrow, one of the movements of his string quartet. And then Witold Lutoslawski's excerpt from the string quartet. And the next piece we'll do will be a piece by John Adams, a little excerpt from The Chairman Dances, and then Octavian Nemescu and a piece called Metabizant. I can never say it. I try to get it out every time, and it doesn't happen. Metabizantinirikon. One of these days I'll get all those. Metabizantinirikon, Octavian Nemescu, and we'll finish it up with Nick Didkovsky's piece Meat. So hidden inside, those names are the clue to this week's theme. Call us at 454-7762 or write it down on a postcard if you can figure out what the clues are.
Or if you know the answer to the quiz from 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Or, yes, which wasn't a quiz. It was your favorite funny piece.
Yeah, that's a quiz to some people.
So music by Elena Fursova, music by Charles Ives, music by Conlon Nancarrow, Witold Lutoslawski, John Adams, Octavian Nemescu, and Nick Didkovsky. That's this week's quiz. Here we go.
Thank you. a production of Multimedia.